Hey everybody, welcome to Movie Crush, interview edition, Friday interview edition, and boy, everyone, I had a great time this week talking with Casey Wilson. You know Casey from, everything from Saturday Night Live to the wonderful show Happy Endings, to a show that I loved that wasn't around nearly long enough called Marry Me on NBC, and various other things. Casey is super talented and funny, and a really great writer and comedian and improv comedian and actor. And she got in touch with me, which was great. She hit me up and said, "Hey, dude, I got your email from Janet Varney. And I'm a big Stuff You Should Know listener for a long time. And I'm in town and I just wanted to say hi and thanks." And I immediately got selfish and emailed her back and said, "Hey, can you come in for Movie Crush?" And she did so like the next day. Or maybe the day after that or something like that. And her movie pick was Clue, which really excited me. A movie I love and adore and have for many, many years, that a movie that did not get its due in its day, but has since grown to have a large, a deserved cult following. And Casey loved Clue, and we were both way into talking about it. So she came in and just couldn't have been nicer and lovelier and friendlier. And she... we talked about SNL as the first cast member from Saturday Night Live to be in here. I peppered her with questions about that. And she talked about TV and improv and her backstory. And then we got into Clue, and it was pretty fun. So give a listen right now to Casey Wilson on Clue. Had a technical malfunction, and we were talking about our close to three-year-old children mm-hmm. who are monsters.
They're both. Terrifying. I haven't met your daughter. I'm sure she's wonderful.
She would be around you.
I know.
She would show off, and you would think she's the sweetest little pie ever.
I know. You think my son is like a little shy guy. Meanwhile, he's like shoves me. I'm like, he's abusive.
Well, our deal is if she is the biggest challenge is if we're anywhere where there's any fun being had, it's a nightmare to leave.
Yes, it's the transitions.
Yeah, just a nightmare. We try the preparation, like, you know, we're going to have to go.
We're backing things up like 5 hours. I'm like, in 5 hours, we're going to leave the pool.
Yeah, it's a meltdown now every time we leave anywhere, to the point where we're like, is it worth it to even go anywhere?
I feel 100% the same. I'm like, should I just sit in this one room and just, we'll do everything here, everything that can be done.
You were talking about LA parenting, and I'm sure it's even worse than Atlanta parents.
There's a lot there.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was in this class. Well-meaning parents, mm-hmm. you know, everyone wants to just do the best they can, of course. But this one mom was like almost in tears because she said she's afraid that Siri is going to Alexa. Mm-hmm. She's like, I'm just really afraid like my daughter's going to think we're all run by robots.
Was she serious?
Dead ass serious.
Oh, no.
And then another woman was like, you know, I just want to tell everyone there's this coach you can get to come to the house and kind of declutter. So I'm thinking like, oh, I could declutter her. That's something. She's like, it's for children's development. They'll take any clothes off any animals, like stuffed animals, because we don't want children to think that bears wear clothes in nature. It's like, what?
Wow.
Like, you know, we just don't want to tell them that lie.
Huh.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we haven't experienced
don't
a lot of that.
Don't come to LA.
No. Oh, well, I was telling you, I was just there. It's always nice to visit. And I used to live there.
Yeah. Oh, you did?
Yeah, I lived there for like 4 or 5 years.
Did you like it?
I did. I was there early 2000s, and I really enjoyed it for a while, and then was ready to leave.
Yeah.
And, you know, go, like, buy a house, something that I could have never done out there.
Yeah. Yeah.
Even though, looking back, it was maybe have been possible.
Yeah.
But not now.
Yeah. No. It's not an easy place for that.
No. But I like visiting still.
Yeah.
It's a lot of fun. So where are you from?
I'm from Virginia, right outside D.C. in Alexandria.
Nice.
Yeah.
Do you consider yourself Southern?
No. And to be honest, because my family's fairly liberal and we live so close to D.C., I don't know if it's a geography problem. I didn't know I was Southern, really, until like I got to NYU and everyone's like, oh, you're from the South.
Because I don't hear much of an accent.
Well, drama training.
Right.
Chuck. No. But I don't think of it that way because everyone was so liberal where we grew up, but it is the South.
Didn't I read that your parents were on opposite sides of the political spectrum?
Yeah, I was trying to kind of leave
that
out.
Do you not want to talk about
no,
that?
I do. I do. My mom was a huge Democrat and kind of feminist, trying to get women elected, and the ERA amendment passed in the 80s, and my father
hated women.
Yeah, she hates women, and my father also hates women. Yeah, no. And my dad is a Republican political strategist.
Wow.
He makes political commercials.
So was that, I mean, how real was that in the house?
Very real.
Really?
Very real. And I think actually, my mom actually passed away a while ago, but I think would be much more real now.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, I feel like back in the day, if someone was elected that you didn't like, you were bummed, but it wasn't so kind of heated as though it is now.
Yeah. And I feel like, too, when I was growing up there, I used to hear things like, you know, voting for the character of the candidate, sometimes even above, like, it seems the dividing line is so harsh now.
It's so harsh, yeah.
And it didn't seem like it was, or maybe I was just young and naive and didn't get politics.
I know. Well, we're
I'm not really
a
sure.
different time now. It's quite a time.
But it doesn't seem possible for that marriage to exist today.
I don't know if it would. My dad and I have had to do some work on our relationship, although my dad will never, is old school, he won't say who he voted for. I think he doesn't want to say truly because he didn't vote Republican, but that's his whole business.
Right.
He's like, it's my private right.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
What?
Yeah.
But he won't say who he voted for. So it's kind of actually kept us from conflict.
Uh-huh. That's old school. I for sure remember when I was a kid.
Yeah.
Like you didn't ask anyone like
how much money they made,
yeah. how much their house cost mm-hmm. or who they voted for. Mm-hmm. And it's funny now as an adult, like you can totally tell all those things just by knowing somebody.
Oh, immediately you take a look at them. Like, yeah.
Or you can just fully look up like how much their house costs. Like, what's your address?
And what they make.
Just look at Zillow.
Yeah.
Net
worth.
If you believe that site.
You can't believe it.
Is it accurate?
I'm pleased with mine.
Are you on there?
Uh-huh.
See, I'm not even on there. I don't even register.
Oh, no.
You know what's funny is, you know, there's like a celebrity birthday site.
Yeah.
And I don't think I'm on it, but I looked up when my daughter was born. I was like, oh, I'm just curious to see who it is. Josh.
Wow. And he was on there.
And they had share a birthday. And I didn't, like, it didn't dawn on me because I knew when his birthday was, but I was in the middle of an adoption, so I wasn't really thinking clearly.
Yeah, yeah.
And so I just brought up the website, and that was the there first name I saw. I was like, are you kidding
there
me?
There it is. There
and
it
also,
was.
Also, why is he on this?
Well, that's the more upsetting piece of it.
Yeah, probably. Yeah. Probably so.
I was on this. My friend was like, I saw you all over this website. And it was like early in my career. I'm like, ooh. And it was like a foot fetish site.
Oh,
just
really?
And my feet look great, don't get me wrong, but no, I have horrible feet. Like feet, people are like, ah! And they were in many different strappy heels. And
really?
But yeah, it's disgusting and creepy. But then at the same time, you're like, well, someone took the time.
I can't imagine. Well, that's true.
You know,
that is kind of sweet.
So
I
sweet.
Can't imagine being in the public eye like that.
My feet don't like it.
Like Podcast Famous is so different.
That's why podcasts are so great.
Nobody cares.
But people feel so close to you.
Yeah.
Truly. I mean, and it sounds strange to say, and I'm going to look away from you when I say it, but I have gone to bed listening to you two in
really?
My ear for years. Yes.
That really,
I've had dreams about you guys seeping into my brain. And I'm not proud of that, and I don't want it.
Right.
No.
We'll get out of there.
Yeah, please.
That means a lot. I really appreciate that.
Yeah. Because they're in your ear, there's something. I have a podcast, and people come up to me and are so... It's different than, it's almost like how
it's
TV was
intimate.
When you're, you know, people are like, oh, you're in your living room. It's like, oh, you're in our ears.
Yeah, like, and usually, like, I guess people listen in the car and stuff, but a lot of times it's earbuds.
Yeah.
And there is nothing more intimate than, like, an earbud stuffed in your ear.
Yeah.
And someone speaking to you for 10 years, in our case.
Yeah.
Like, it, you know.
Yeah.
People have named kids after us. It's weird.
What?
Well, they say that. I'm not convinced
that's
true.
Yeah, I hope not.
So, were you a drama kid? Growing up?
Yes, I was. But I didn't do anything professionally. I didn't even know you could do it professionally. I was
right.
like, those kids in that TV, I don't know how they got in there.
Uh-huh.
And so I did plays in my backyard.
Oh, that's adorable.
I know. And the opening is even worse that my dad found these old velvet curtains in the attic.
Uh-huh.
And so we built a stage and I would just direct and fire the neighborhood kids and... Was kind of unlikable little
direct
kid.
Direct and fire.
Yeah. A lot of people didn't know their lines, Megan Emmons.
Oh.
Yeah. She knows who she is. She knows what she did.
So you would put them on as the writer, or would you write original stuff or just do like
original pieces like Cats, the sequel?
Really?
So someone was inspired by original material.
That's awesome, though.
Yeah.
Like, would people come?
The neighbors would come, but I would get inventive and have like firecrackers, little low scale ones going off in the yard for the finales.
Uh-huh.
And we'd have costume designers and...
Little Max Fisher.
a little, but my parents said neighbors would call crying. And they're like, your daughter, you know, told my daughter she didn't know her lines and she's replacing her and I would replace everyone.
And you're like, and the problem is?
Yeah, and I always gave them a part. Megan knows that her part was to crouch on the stage with her arm draped over her head as the telephone. Uh-huh. I would just lift her arm up and she was the phone.
How could you screw that up?
Yeah, and how could you not appreciate that?
But that's really awesome, though. I like, especially having kids now, like to see that kind of creativity. That's what you hope for as a parent.
Yeah.
You know?
I have been grateful. I've always known what I want to do, and maybe I didn't explore enough other things, but it's been such a clear... And actually, I'm not trying to segue for you, but the movie I'm going to discuss played a huge role in my wanting to be an actress.
Put a pin in that.
It's put a pin in it. I'm not even going
to
say it.
But you went to NYU, though, so like you were clearly pursuing acting by that point.
Yep, I went. I did like summer theater programs and here and there, and then did like a little show in D.C. that might as well have been Broadway. Mm-hmm. I thought I was in the chorus playing a boy in Fiddler on the Roof, and then went to NYU. And I met my best, dearest friend to this day, June Diane Raphael, who hosts another podcast, How Did This Get Made, and is an actress.
She's great.
She's hilarious.
Yeah.
And we started living together and writing sketches together and performing together. Yeah, at UCB, and we had a two-woman show, and that's how I kind of got into comedy. I thought I was going to be a dramatic actress.
Is what you're doing now dramatic?
Like actually, this show I'm doing now is more of a dramedy, actually, which is good. I've kind of been in the... I was on Saturday Night Live briefly, and so that kind of puts you in a bit of a light of like a sketch performer, but I always felt more like an actress.
Right.
But every comedian fancies himself a dramatic actor, so.
And every dramatic actor wants to be a comedian. What's the deal?
I'll tell you what, it only goes one way.
I think you're probably right.
Yeah. Sometimes it goes the other way, but I think
hard
anyone
to be funny if you're not.
I think so. Not to put anyone down, but I think if you have that well of sensitivity and darkness that's led you to do comedy, it's probably under it, the comedy anyway.
Right.
So it's kind of easier to go that way.
Right.
I think. Although there are exceptions.
Yeah, but I think there are plenty more examples going the way you're talking about.
Yeah. Yeah.
For sure.
I think so.
Do you want to talk about Saturday Night Live? Will you?
Sure, of course.
Because you're the first person I've had in here who has been a cast member.
Well, I'm not probably the best example, but I'm happy to talk about it.
I think that's probably where I first saw you, if I'm remembering correctly. Yeah. That's where you came on my radar, I think, to begin with.
Yeah, I think it's the first thing I was in a Christopher Guest movie for like three lines.
Oh, that's right. For Your Consideration?
Yes, at the very end. Mm-hmm. And then I got an SNL.
What was that like? Was that like a big life goal or was it?
Yeah, I mean, it's strange because around the time I was doing the plays and watching SNL, I wrote in my journal, this is cheesy, but I wrote, I want to be on SNL, like all over this one journal. And I was like 11 or 10 or 11.
Wow.
And then when I was auditioning for the show, my dad, who is very sweet, faxed the hotel. He found the journal entries. So I'm like, why are you going through my journals? But I'll put that aside. And then so when I woke up on the day of my audition, this guy kind of put it under the hotel room door, and to see it, like, oh, wow, and now I'm auditioning.
That's pretty cool.
In a good headspace of like, if I even don't get it, it's cool to be here.
That's great. But how nerve-wracking was that?
It was incredibly nerve-wracking, but it was almost so crazy that I kind of felt like, well, this is so insane that, I don't know, I just didn't want to embarrass myself. That was my main goal, and everyone said they will not laugh.
That's what I've heard.
So once I kind of knew that,
I'm
like, okay, I'm not expecting this, like, uproarious moment.
That's sort of the deal, though, in, like, comedy and writer's rooms and stuff. I mean, people have a good time, but it's sort of serious business, which is antithetical to the layman.
Yeah, I mean, I think if you have, like, a good comedy room, there's probably tons of laughs, but it is hard work.
Yeah, it's kind of shitty, though, to, I don't know, not that they should fake laughs, but I just can't imagine anything more unnerving than auditioning for SNL.
The table reads at SNL are deadly.
Yeah.
I mean, truly, because they're so long, so you can't even, you kind of fall in it yourself.
Mm-hmm.
I would always be very determined. I remember Amy Poehler very sweetly, like, always trying to laugh, you know?
Oh, really?
Yeah, and I would be, like, really trying to laugh, too, because you feel so badly. People are putting themselves out there. They've been up all night.
Is this when you're pitching ideas?
Yeah,
or
no,
just
this is when
the...
you do, everyone has to turn in 2 to 3 sketches a week, and so then you read them all, so it takes, like, 4 hours.
Gotcha.
So by the end.
Yeah.
And then when they give you the order of the sketches and you know yours is after 20, you're just like, fuck.
Right.
<'Cause> everybody's done.
They list them out in the order of preference, I guess.
Yeah.
Or likelihood.
I would always be in like 25 to 35. That's not a great spot.
Yeah, I mean, I've watched that show since I was a little kid, and you were on. I mean, that was a great cast.
Yeah.
I mean, that was Will Ferrell and.
No, I was on actually. He was a guest, once. But I was on with Kristen Wiig and Amy Poehler were the women, and like Andy Samberg and Bill Hader and
Sudeikis.
Yeah, Sudeikis.
Yeah, and of course Keenan.
Of course, Keenan. I love Keenan so much.
He's just the bedrock.
He is.
I think
a teddy
he's from
bear.
Here.
I think he is.
I think he's from Atlanta.
He's the nicest guy in the world.
Yeah, I'm glad to know that because I think a lot of them, and I think I read an article one time where he was, where it seemed like he offers like pretty sage advice to newcomers about not getting too worked up about stuff.
Yeah. He's just like so chill and so sweet and generous with his time and his personality and his laughs. And so is Fred Armisen, who was on the show with me too.
Right. He's such a weirdo, huh?
Oh, in the best way.
In the best way, yeah.
My God, there is no one truly on planet Earth more fun to sit and just joke around with.
Really?
Yeah. Oh, my God. The things he's... he'll keep a bit going for years.
Really?
Yeah, he'll circle back to it years later. Right when he sees you. He's just a genius.
Uh-huh.
And actually, and Daryl Hammond was on the show, too, and he was really friendly. He knew I was kind of struggling. And
so he was still around.
He was still around, uh-huh. And he let me use his dressing room to smoke cigarettes out of.
Oh, really?
Because I think he saw I was, like, really struggling. He's like, Casey... use my room.
Really?
I was like, this is so sad, but I'll take it.
That's nice. Were you, I guess you were one of probably the younger cast members at the time, huh?
Yeah, because I came on after the writer's strike. And so I came in alone, which was tough. And I'm not making any excuses, but it was very tough.
That's unusual though, right?
Yeah, normally like six people coming together.
Yeah.
And Maya Rudolph left and I came in.
Uh-huh.
And it was just kind of a bit of an island, although then you start meeting people and...
Right.
Yeah.
How intimidating. I just can't imagine being like, I mean, you think about like the first day of school, that's like the most intimidating school in comedy history.
Yeah, I was like floating above reality, but
yeah,
it's funny. James Franco made a documentary. He's kind of one of the only people, oddly, that has taken cameras back and followed the whole process for a week.
Huh.
And someone gave it to me and I'm like, I don't think I can bear to watch this.
Really?
It's like going back to high school almost and like seeing yourself in like goth. You're just like so embarrassed. Then I watched it and I was like, I'm acting as though I was like a mute in the corner. I'm existing as
so
a human. I was in it. Yeah.
Okay. Gotcha.
And it was fine. It was like, oh, okay. It wasn't as bad as I perceived it at the time.
And then you broke the DVD over your knee.
Mm-hmm.
And
yes.
Smashed the flash drive.
Went to his house. Yeah.
Well, that's awesome. I was a big fan of Marry Me as well.
Thank you.
Because I think I would classify myself as obsessed with Ken Marino.
A Ken Marino enthusiast?
Yeah. I mean, he's my dude.
Well, he's the best.
Yeah.
He's
just
so
like,
funny.
I just like worship that guy. And everything he's done. I saw the movie he directed. I've seen everything.
Adam Pally starring in his next movie.
Oh, really?
Yeah. We were just talking about Adam, who was on Happy Endings, the show I did before Marry Me.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So he's directing another movie.
Yep. Ken directed it starring Adam.
That's great.
Yeah.
He's just... I don't know. There's something about that
he's
guy.
He's so funny in Wanderlust and Eastbound and Down.
Yeah.
No one plays like a confident asshole better than Ken.
Oh, and Wanderlust, which they shot here too, actually. But yeah, he was so funny in
guy.
That.
So upsetting. That character and Michaela Watkins as his wife.
Yeah. Who was she on your cast?
Yes. So she and Abby Elliott and Bobby Moynihan came in the next year.
Okay. Right.
Yeah, and she's wonderful.
Because I was watching some of your sketches the other day, and I forgot you were one of the Morell sisters. Is that how it was pronounced?
God, I don't even know what sisters we were.
Well, the singing sisters with Kristen Wiig with the baby hands.
Sadly.
You don't even
I blocked
that
it
stuff,
all out. I'm like, was I in that? No, that was so fun.
But yeah, Ken, and Party Down is one of my like all-time favorite shows. I think I watched that all the way through probably three times.
It's great.
And he's just the best. And I've reached out to him a bunch of times, and it's never worked out. But they're very sweet every time. His people are like, keep trying, though. Like, I don't think he doesn't want to do it or anything. He's just
That cannot be the case.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's in my husband's next show, and my husband's obsessed with him as well.
Oh, a TV show coming up?
Yes.
Oh, great.
Yeah. And he's obsessed with him.
And your husband's a comedy writer.
Yeah, he's a comedy writer. He created Happy Endings and Marry Me. That's where I met him. And then he's doing a new show that I'm just a little part in.
I don't think Marry Me got a fair shake.
I don't either, but at the same time, so many people, this show Happy Endings had kind of this cult following, so I think sometimes there's anger involved of like, why isn't it that?
Yeah, I guess I see what you mean, but it's also just sort of, what network was it on? NBC?
NBC.
It's kind of in an era where it's tough to pull off that network.
Yeah.
Like it might have been well received as the same exact show if it had been on Netflix.
Yeah.
Just because of perception.
It's a tough line to ride, which I think all my comedian friends were all trying, which is like, network, it's not the coolest, but you know, you can make great money and you can just
right.
have a great time. So you, but then you end up making something so weird that they're like, we don't care for this.
It definitely and
didn't. So it never really works. It's like Kimmy Schmidt is such an amazing show, which they tried for NBC. And then NBC is like, this is too weird. And it's just like a joke box, which is all, you know, comedians want to do.
Yeah. And it's amazing that, like, looking back, that a show like 30 Rock or Arrested Development ever, I mean, that was a while ago.
But they are not doing those now.
Yeah, there's no way.
They're doing family stuff. And anytime you pitch something, there's like too weird and they're visibly angry.
Yeah.
Please stop pitching like really weird stuff.
It's so funny, though, because you want to shake them and say, no, you need to get a little more hip. Like, don't you see what's like the writing on the wall?
Don't you see?
Yeah.
You're a dinosaur. No,
no, it's
seriously,
like my grandpa,
but yeah, I know.
But that probably wouldn't win you any jobs.
No, nobody likes to hear that. Please cut that.
Really?
No.
Okay. you're such a good actor. I just couldn't tell.
Thank you, Chuck.
What kind of movies were you watching growing up? Like, I consider the formative years, like sort of 11 through 15 movie-wise.
It's so interesting. I didn't see a lot of the movies everyone saw, and I don't know how. Like, I never saw Star Wars. I never saw The Breakfast Club and all those.
Really?
To this day.
Really?
People make references, never saw Monty Python, just swaths of movie culture I missed.
What were you watching?
I was watching, Chuck, like, Sound of Music.
Oh, that's great.
And, you know, I feel like, what
well,
was
Little
I
Shop
watching?
Of Horrors, that you mentioned that as one of your favorites.
Loved Little Shop of Horrors. Strangely, one of the first movies, my parents would take me also to Coen Brothers movies.
Huh. That's great.
The first movie I saw, my dad brought me because he was watching me just alone and just thought, oh, I'll
Kill
take her to
time.
Splash.
Oh.
And I remember being like, there's a mermaid, but it was a little above my head.
But
I loved Big.
Such a
I loved.
Yeah.
Beaches. I liked these, like, you know, I loved like Overboard and kind of like big comedies. Love all those movies. And then I became obsessed with, and these are, I'm not saying these are the best movies of our time, but I got really into Father the Bride and Steve Martin. I had a huge, like, Steve Martin.
Those were good movies.
The Jerk, that kind of thing.
I mean, Steve Martin.
Yeah.
He's a legend.
Yeah.
I loved him growing up.
And then I got obsessed with Christopher Guest movies.
Yeah.
Of course,
you should.
Yeah, as everyone does.
Well, you're doing the right thing then, because those came out, I guess, when you were in high school?
Yeah, high school.
What a treasure, because, like, when I was in high school, there were a lot of bad movies. And I look back fondly at them, but there wasn't anything like that kind of quality.
Yeah, and I remember seeing this, like, stumbling, who are these people? What are they doing? This is the funniest thing, obviously, Waiting for Guffman that I've ever seen. If I could even be... meet any of these people. And so to get a part in his first movie, my first movie was a dream sent, heaven sent.
How was that meeting him and auditioning and stuff?
So I've actually, like, I've ever told anyone this story, but thank you for asking. It was so crazy. I got the audition. And I'm working with June, writers on this CBS animated show for Aardman called Creature Comforts, which came over from London. Yeah, so
I saw the original stuff way back when.
Well, our version only aired one episode, but we were working on it in Culver City and just writers. And like,
did Chad Carter write on that?
Yes.
Chad's an old buddy.
It was just Chad, June, and I.
Yeah, he's the
best.
That's
it. Yeah. And Chad and I drove to work together every day.
Oh, that's great.
So we're there, and June and I would tell our boss, sorry, Kit. Every day we'd be like, I got to run to the doctors, and we'd be going to auditions, you know, and like be really long. And June would then cover for me and be like, the pharmacist needed to talk to her. Like, so sad and unprofessional.
It's like the worst excuse ever.
The worst ever. June and I asked for a raise the first day.
Really?
Yeah. A lot. Mistakes were made.
Uh-huh.
But then I got this audition. They were like, yeah, there's this little role in Christopher Guest. I was so excited. Mm-hmm. I like preparing. And then oddly that night, not to be a downer, but my mom passed away very suddenly.
Oh, my God.
And so I just completely, obviously, forgot about the audition. But the last conversation I had with my mom, I was telling her, I'm like, I'm so excited. And, you know, I had no money. And I'm like, my phone was shut off during that conversation because I had no money. I was like, can I borrow some money? My phone's, and then it shut off. But my mom loved Christopher Guest, so I was so excited. Then obviously the whole year goes by and I didn't even think about it. And then I got this call from my manager, and she's like, you know, that Christopher Guest movie's completely edited, and they're adding one scene, and they need an actress.
Wow.
And do you want to go in? And I went in, And I just thought I bombed it, and I got in the car and just cried my eyes out because I felt very much like I let my mom down. I let myself down. I was just like, God, what a failure. And then got back to my office, and June and Chad were there. I got a call. I got it. And the three of us, like, jumping up and down, crying. And
that's so great.
I only bring it up because it was beyond being in any movie. It was like
someone's tied into that time in your life, it sounds like, too.
Yeah. So it was a very special experience. And
that's great.
I love Catherine O'Hara so much, and my scene got to be with her.
She's so great.
She's everything.
Well, it's funny. I was looking at your influences that were listed on your Wikipedia page.
Oh.
And did you not
those?
Know they were on
no.
there?
No. Was it my feet?
Huh?
My feet?
It will be weird. They did have a picture of your feet.
Oh, yeah.
And that was
I hope that's my
had.
Cover photo.
But your list of influences of female comedians was just like, I was like, oh, wow. Well, no wonder I think she's great. It's like Lucille Ball and Madeline Kahn and Catherine O'Hara.
Molly Shannon.
Molly. Oh, God. Yeah.
I know.
When I think of Molly Shannon, I just picture me hugging her.
Me too. And she'll allow it.
Really?
Yes. I have pursued a friendship with Catherine O'Hara and Molly Shannon and this director I'm working with now, Nicole Halfsteiner, in ways that are uncomfortable, unwanted, unwarranted. And yet I'm not normally that person to like push something if I don't really know something, but little entrees to each of them resulted in me being like, can we go to lunch? And they're like, oh, God. But they all did and are the most wonderful women. And to get to
that's great.
Sit down with someone you love is and for them to also be as amazing as you would think is because not every actor or comedian.
Sure. That's risky business.
It is.
To meet your heroes.
I didn't want to come here, Chuck.
Come on.
I didn't. I was like, oh, boy.
That's so great to hear about Molly Shannon because I just adore her. And especially like with her life story. And she just, I just think she's the bee's knees.
She really is.
That's great. Now, was she on SNL when you were?
No, but that's how I just met her at some party or something. Uh-huh. And she was so encouraging and warm.
And he said, oh, and can we go to lunch?
I said, hey, want to hang out? She said, please leave. Get out of my house.
And Catherine O'Hara, too, huh?
Yes. Well, I did a movie with her called Killers, which I'm sure someone's going to do as their favorite movie. And if they haven't, I'm shocked, with Ashton Kutcher and Katherine Heigl. And we had so much fun because we were in, like, outside New Orleans together for, like, 3 weeks, just the two of us.
Uh-huh.
And they weren't really using us, so we would just bop around.
Wow.
And it was a dream.
That's great.
Yeah.
Well, and weirdly, was this before or after Ashton Kutcher manhandled you on Saturday Night Live in that one totally wrong sketch?
Yeah. That beautiful sketch. It's very upsetting.
Did you write that sketch?
I did. I did. Nobody needs it in today's era to see a quadriplegic stripper.
It was funny. What was her name?
She was positive.
Dusty something.
Dusty Velvet?
I think that's right. Dusty Velvet.
She was positive, though. She had suffered an accident on Tilt-A-Whirl and was still trying to continue to strip. But she did need help from a handler.
It's a very funny sketch, but it just...
It's upsetting.
Yeah, it is upsetting.
Especially as I've had kids, I'm like, this is not funny whatsoever.
Well, you got it on the show.
Yes, but now I'm like, I'm so much more sensitive to things as I've had kids.
Sure.
Things I'm like, that's edgy and cool. Now I'm like, no way. Can't have anything with a kid in it.
Yeah, yeah.
It's not funny.
For sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, that definitely happens in life.
I know, as much as I think, like, it doesn't matter. Let's make things. It's like, nope.
Yeah.
Can't even joke about that.
Yeah, and I was talking with producer Noel about it the other day because we both have daughters. And, like, you can still go out and make anything. Like, I'm not into any kind of censorship. Like, I think literally everything is fair game.
Yeah.
But, like, doesn't mean you have to watch it.
Nope.
Or like it. But just keep making it because I believe in art in that way.
Me too. But it's just, I can't watch anything that upsetting. It's too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I'm with you.
Yeah.
So we can move on to Clue.
Okay.
Well, first of all, you also, you said Little Shop of Horrors was another one, a movie which I have never seen, believe it or not.
So great.
I feel like I need to see it.
I feel the movie Clue and Little Shop of Horrors are both like the most amazing, terrible, wonderful movies that I've seen so many times. And some people, they're polarizing.
Because Little Shop was a play first, right?
Yeah, a musical, yeah.
Yeah, I need to check that out.
It's really great.
It's weird
Christopher Guest has the best cameo in the world.
Oh,
as does Bill Murray. and Steve Martin is.
Right.
And Rick Moranis, yeah. who I'm just
I miss
heartbroken.
Him so much.
He's not acting.
Yeah, but also, like, I remember reading an article about him where he was like, you know, his wife passed away, and he's like, I'm going to be a good dad and quit this.
Yeah.
And then he got away and was like, you know, I didn't miss it like I thought. And
it's
that's
so admirable
that's
because you never hear someone saying, I think I'm going to step away. It's
yeah.
so dignified and beautiful that he did that.
I know. It is weird. It feels like.
Yeah, I don't want this world for him. I'm glad he's.
Yeah, same here.
Doing what he's doing, but I miss him.
Like, selfishly, I miss him as well.
Yeah.
But I think it's so noble and, like, great that
yeah.
he just gave it up.
I know. I wish I had that in me.
And also, you wish you had a pile of Ghostbusters money.
Yeah, it's,
under
it's
your pillow.
Nice to step away with that money. I wonder if he brought the money
it's
with him.
Easier. Yeah. And the other movie was Terms of Endearment.
The one thing I'll say about that movie is, as sad as it is, it's also extremely funny.
Oh, it's hysterical.
Which I feel like doesn't get that its due mm-hmm. for how funny it is three quarters of the movie.
It's great.
It's everything. That relationship between the mother and daughter. Shirley
so
MacLaine
great.
And
Surreal.
Deborah Winger are unbelievable mm-hmm. comedians. And people always are like, what? Deborah Winger's always in sad things. She is so funny in this movie.
She is.
And so true, and how she is with it. You just don't see a movie where they let that type of relationship breathe and live.
Yeah.
And by the end, because they've built just this unbelievable mother-daughter relationship, it is like gutting
yes.
to see what happens.
Yeah. And then, and James L. Brooks was like, I think he was like in his 20s. When he wrote, directed, and produced that, which is
I mean,
ridiculous.
It's like Paul Simon doing Sound of Silence in his 20s. Like, what?
I know.
Maybe because you're so, I can't even imagine.
I'm obsessed with looking at ages of people when they did great works.
It's like, depressing and amazing. I know. I'm like, ooh.
I shouldn't do that.
I know.
But it's hard not to. And yeah, it's just crazy because that movie was so good.
Yeah.
And what's his name? Jeff Daniels.
Oh, my God.
Like, he was a kid. They were both kids.
Danny DeVito, Jack Nicholson in that movie is
yeah.
so incredible.
He's so great.
Yeah.
Such a good movie.
It's really good.
Did you see The Lovers, Deborah Winger's movie from last year?
No, with Tracy Letts.
Yeah.
Is it?
It's great.
Really? My friend said that I should have seen it.
It's so great.
Okay.
You know, it's not too late. You can still see it.
It's too late. I can't. I absolutely can't, but I wish I had.
It's really, really, really great. And okay. just so good to see her, like, killing it again.
Well, I know I sound like a psychopath, but I actually, speaking of Ashton Kutcher, went and stalked his set on the ranch
because
with my girl.
In it.
Yeah, it's upsetting. I don't like this side of myself. I don't like it.
No, you're. I mean,
I wanted
a bit
to meet
of me
her
in you because I do the same thing. Like I'm just like oh, I just want to like I've done that with the show, like specifically tried to get people on just so I could sit down for an hour.
Yeah. Well, it's common interest, and if you are a fan,
mm-hmm.
and my girlfriend Alicia Cuthbert's on the show, and I knew Ashton, so I was like, can I stop? I'm not stopping by my friend's sets. It's like,
right.
who's coming to work and, like, sitting across from a computer? Like, you
right.
just don't do it after a while when you have kids.
Yeah.
And then I said to Alicia, don't tell her why I'm coming. I just want to, like, be there.
Mm-hmm.
And my makeup artist.
It needs to be organic.
Yes, 100%. And I was just like, okay. And my makeup artist from another show was doing Deborah's, and they knew all. Everyone knew I was coming except for Deborah, and so we're in there, and I'm
uh-huh.
pretending, like, just chatting with Alicia. And, like, I don't even see Deborah Winger over there. Like,
but you felt, like, a white hot heat
hot
out of the corner
heat.
Of your
And then
eye.
There was a pause, and Deborah Winger just goes, all right, just come over, say hi.
Really?
And they had told her.
Oh,
so
that's
embarrassing.
Sweet.
She was like, get over here.
I love that.
I know.
I mean,
she was very
I
was, nice.
Like, Officer and a Gentleman is one of my favorite all-time movies.
Yeah.
And Urban Cowboy. And, I mean, she was just
She
the
was
best.
Amazing in Rachel Getting Married recently.
Oh, that's right.
She's
that was a great
She's
movie.
One of like the best that we have.
She was on your Wikipedia page.
She was?
With Shirley MacLaine.
So glad.
You told your influences to someone at some point, clearly.
Okay. Well.
That may have been it, actually. No.
I like who I said.
I do, too.
I stand behind it.
So, Clue. One of my favorite movies. For real.
Really?
Oh, yeah. That's
I'm
why
so
I jumped
glad.
On it. It's,
I didn't want to be fighting an uphill battle here.
Oh, no, okay. No, that's why I leapt on it. 1985, I was 14. I saw it in the theater because I was a Clue the Game nut.
Yeah.
Were you?
Yes.
Okay.
Not.
Do you still play?
Not as much. No.
Yeah.
Do you?
Occasionally, I will play. Like, I bought the game 4 or 5 years ago because I hadn't played since I was a kid.
Yeah.
And Emily and I played a few, like, just dual rounds with each other, which is a weird way to play just one-on-one.
That's so cute.
Well, it was kind of fun, but she has, it's so annoying. She says she has this, she has the game beat. Like she has this patented technique that will not allow her to lose.
And has she told you what it is?
No, of course not.
Is she trying to get in your head?
I don't know. She's very competitive.
And does she win?
She does, but
I appreciate her style.
Yeah, but she says she has the game. She has some system that where she has licked the game, and it just
never
drives
heard
me,
of such a thing.
I haven't either. It makes me crazy.
Wow.
But I love the game growing up, and when I was a kid, they had I don't know how many versions there have been, but I still remember the faces of the people, the models that they used on that box that I had.
Yeah,
it's probably the same one you had.
Yeah. Oh yeah. I remember too. My family would sit down and play all the time, and I was like, "This is very cool."
Yeah, it was just a big part of my childhood.
Yeah.
So when the movie came out, I was all over it, and I liked the movie back then. I know it's grown, and we'll talk a little bit about it, that it's grown into a cult classic now, but it wasn't. It was very famously sort of derided by critics and was not a success at the box office.
And I can
office.
See that. In a way.
Yeah.
Well, it's not every day someone's taking a board game and making a movie. Like, I think even that setup is kind of like, what?
Well, especially back then. Like, now it seems like they're adapting everything.
It's categories and But I'm available to star.
That'd be a great movie. But back then, it was definitely weird to see a board game turn into a movie. But it was a bit of a magic trick that it was a good movie.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, with such... They cast such great comedians, with the exception of Mr. Body.
Leaving. Lead singer of the punk band Fear.
Even when I saw it as a kid, I was like, ooh.
Yeah.
And I don't mean to put anyone down.
No,
I was like,
weird.
One of these people that is doesn't belong.
Starkly different than the rest.
Yeah.
Maybe that was the point, though.
I think it was, actually. I read that they wanted someone to have a different vibe, and he did.
Yeah. So going through the cast real quick. Tim Curry played Wadsworth the butler. Amazing.
Unbelievable.
Eileen Brennan played Mrs. Peacock.
Unamazing.
Amazing.
The best.
Like, I feel like she screams 90% of her lines in the funniest way possible.
She's like, and I've never done anything wrong. It's so good.
Michael McKean as Mr. Green.
Thank you.
Amazing.
Thank you, Lord Jesus.
He was so great. Leslie Ann Warren as Miss Scarlet. Who, when I was 14, I think she was like 37 when she made this movie. But to me, Leslie Ann Warren has always been 43.
I know. As a 37-year-old woman, I know. She seemed like so sultry and sexy and older.
She was.
She was.
And I was just so like, I was a little Baptist boy. So I was 14 and I was just like, these feelings I had when I saw Leslie Ann Warren as this like grown woman. It's like, I just didn't know how to process that.
And again, this was a comedy where you don't see that kind of like sexuality on screen in a comedy. It was so great. She was just like, this is what I am.
She was a siren.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah.
Martin Mull as Colonel Mustard. I'll just go ahead and tell you my favorite line.
Oh, please.
From Martin Mull. I came into money during the war when I lost my mommy and daddy.
And daddy, that's what I was thinking you were going to say when I lost my mommy and daddy. Mrs. Peacock's like, ugh.
It was so funny.
So funny.
I mean, that line is a normal line until he says mommy and daddy.
Yes.
Christopher Lloyd as Professor Plum, who they made into a perv, which is interesting. And he was great.
Great.
And also like.
So weird.
I looked up his age too. I was obsessed with everyone's ages. I think he was like 41 or something.
Really?
Like they were all, it was weird. They made a comedy in the 80s. Where I don't think anyone was younger than 37. I think Leslie Ann Warren was probably the youngest cast member.
Yeah.
Which is weird at the time.
Yeah.
In the mid-80s, like comedies, that's not what was going on in the comedy world.
And still not.
Well, yeah.
Well, no, more, a little more, but yeah.
You're kind of right. And then, well, Colleen Camp as
Yvette, who is great.
Yvette the maid.
And I've since met Colin Camp's daughter in L.A. and all. She's like, okay, I get it. You like
really?
My mom.
Yeah. And then finally. Madeline Kahn. Like, we'll talk about what I like to call the 6 moments of Madeline Kahn in this movie
okay.
as we go.
Great.
But she was someone, like Blazing Saddles is one of my all-time favorite movies. And she just, like, could do no wrong.
I think this is like one of the most amazing performances. It's
yeah.
so weird.
so weird.
Yeah.
She plays it so weird. It's
the
so
look
great.
Alone, everyone's look. Their looks are iconic. They're in the same look all night. Mm. It's so good. And she's so weird in it in a great way.
Yeah. And it's interesting as a writer to, it was first time writer director, Jonathan Lynn, Englishman, who later did My Cousin Vinny. But John Landis famously worked on the script for a long, long time and was going to direct it and couldn't crack it because he had the mandate from the studio. You need to have four endings because they never released the fourth ending. It had three. And you probably know all this stuff, but this is for the benefit of the listeners.
Please.
But he, after about a year, invited playwright Tom Stoppard, Stephen Sondheim, and Anthony Perkins to write the script with him, which is sounds like a very strange bunch.
I know. I mean, Tom Stoppard I get because his theater is so crisp and quick. And,
that makes total sense.
And even Stephen Sondheim I sort of get. I mean, Anthony Perkins of it all.
Yeah.
It's a bit of a different.
Well, it's just hard to disassociate him from Norman Bates. Yeah. And like that was just a part he played. Like he was probably a really funny writer, I guess.
Sure. Yeah. Obviously he was.
Maybe.
Obviously. Yeah. That's strange. But then Jonathan Lynn is British, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that to me is probably where they like cracked it.
Yeah, for sure. Because he came in and kind of finished it up and made it his own, I think.
Yeah. And it does have a very British sensibility to me.
Oh, for sure. I mean, they took the board game. Well, first of all, they have to assign personalities to these game pieces, which is kind of fun. Like, I can't imagine being tasked with that.
Yeah.
Because you can do whatever you want.
Yeah. Yes.
They could be whoever.
Uh-huh.
And I'm sure the cast came with their own ideas, but to make Professor Plum kind of pervy and Colonel Mustard was kind of a moron.
Even was that character, yeah.
I know.
And then Mrs. Peacock to be so like batty and kind of flustered with her like feathers and glasses.
Always flustered. There's never that great scene where she just has that feathery, it's not a hat. What do you call that? What's the name of that?
I don't even know what it is. It's like a headpiece?
Yeah, headpiece.
Yeah.
I don't know what ladies call that stuff.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, not.
But when it's falling off of her face and she just can't manage it, it's just such a great moment.
I know. The physical comedy in the whole thing is amazing.
It's amazing. But to make this board game into a screwball, a total throwback screwball comedy murder mystery, whodunit.
Yeah.
Was just, and of course it was going to be whodunit, but for 1985, what a weird choice.
Yeah. And I read, I'm sure you did, but that Jonathan Lynn was kind of modeling like the rapid fire pace off of like My Girl Friday.
Oh, really?
To kind of do this and kind of instructed everyone to be keeping the pace up.
Uh-huh.
The pace is so fast.
It is.
But it's not to be lame, but to quote Ken Marino, if I will, from Marry Me, said, you always have to think about the musicality of a scene.
Really? Is that what he says?
Yeah. And it's very musical.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. They built this amazing set on the Paramount lot.
That was at Paramount?
Uh-huh.
That's where we filmed Marry Me and Happy Endings. I had no idea.
That was I used to PA and stuff in L.A., so that was my film business experience.
Yeah.
But Paramount was always my favorite to work on.
It's a little jewel.
Yeah, and it just seemed like the most sort of classic Hollywood. It's right there in Hollywood, and none of the other ones really are. And, you know, the Bronson Gate where Charles Bronson named himself after the street and just it's iconic.
You driving in there, you're like, wow, I could not help but be grateful every time driving in. It's like, wow, this is so cool.
Well, and so many things, like you walk through the little New York block and you're like, wait a minute, The Godfather was shot here. And
yeah, you're like, why am I riding a Segway and being like,
yeah, there's a lot of magic.
Yeah, making out with
well.
Rob Corddry with no top on. But, you know, just like those movies.
They built this amazing set at Paramount. Like when I was watching it last night with Emily, I told her that and she worked in production and you just still get fooled. You're like, oh, I thought that was a big house in England.
So did I. Yeah, in England. I was like, well, you know, they all went to England.
Right.
They had to.
Found this huge old mansion and it just rained a lot. Uh-huh. It, none of that was fake either.
I know.
It was
like,
just raining.
Huh. They built it, you say.
But I read this great. Did you read the BuzzFeed article about this?
No.
There's this really great long, long article on BuzzFeed about how it became a cult hit. And they interviewed everyone just about their experience. And Martin Mull was just saying how much fun they all had because They're in almost every scene, all of them together. And he just said it was like a party every day. We just had so much fun. And he said he felt bad for Lynn. He said it was like herding puppies to try and get us all to behave.
Yeah.
And apparently they all hung out in the billiard room when they weren't. They just treated it like a pool room. And when they weren't between setups, they would all just go and shoot pool and hang out and just like be besties.
That's so cute. And Martin Mull played my father in something, and he was also found it insufferable, my questions about it. No, he was so cool about it. I was like, we didn't really know it was going to be this, have this longer life.
Sure.
Because he's like, we were having so much fun. You can't imagine that it would then be good.
Right.
Because normally it's kind of the opposite, I think.
Yeah, and especially after the initial reception. And cable TV, you know, like,
yeah.
I was one of those kids who watched it 12 times on, you know, Sunday afternoon on HBO.
I wonder if kids are watching things that amount of times now because there's so much content.
I don't know.
Because I watched it so many times.
And there's so much, not to be old man about it, but, you know, these YouTube kids, like.
These YouTubers.
I don't know if they're sitting around watching movies like we did.
Yeah.
You know?
I don't think they are. They're watching little snippets.
Right.
I don't know what they're watching.
I don't know what they're watching either.
Yeah.
And I just can't even think about what, like, our kids are going to be watching in 12 and 14, 15 years.
I just hope my son is a YouTube star.
Right.
It's my greatest, fondest wish.
YouTube may not even be around then. You never know. So many great corny jokes.
Yeah.
Which is kind of one of my favorite things.
Mm-hmm.
I call it dumb humor, but that makes it sound like I'm... Like I told Paul Scheer when I interviewed, I was talking about Children's Hospital.
Yeah.
And I was like, it was so great. I said, there were so many great dumb jokes. And I was like, ooh, did I like,
no.
Do you know what I mean by that, right, dude?
I always say like the best things are so stupid. And I feel the same, but it's like, it was so stupid in the best way.
Yeah. And I mean, there's so much cornball going on. And it was, especially again for the time in 1985, I remember the comedies at the time. There were nothing like this.
Yeah.
So
no.
It's really no surprise that it wasn't like a big hit.
Yeah, you're right. I was not contextualizing it as to when it was because I just like watched it alone in a vacuum millions of times.
What was your first time seeing it? Do you remember?
Just in my house, I remember. Right. Maybe like a sleepover.
Uh-huh.
What is this? And the reason I really latched onto it was I had never seen something with three female comedic leads.
Yeah.
And there's actually not that much of that even now or just such an ensemble, everyone working together. I was like, I need to do this. These three women, they're all so funny. And I was kind of like, oh, I guess comedy is something that you could do in a way. Because I saw it before I started getting into SNL and then seeing like Sherry O'Terry and Molly Shannon.
Right.
It's like, these women are so funny, all of them.
Yeah, I didn't really think about that. And no one, I mean, everyone stands out. So no one stands out.
Yeah.
You know, no one steals the show.
And it's so rare for everyone to be almost like exactly as holding up their end of it.
Yeah.
And that's what's so magical about it.
Yeah. I mean, even down to Colleen Camp.
Even down to the cook.
Yeah.
And the dogs out front.
They're so great. And the lady from the Go-Go's.
The cop.
The cop.
Oh, well, yes. The lady from the Go-Go's is the singing telegram.
Yeah.
That rhythm.
I thought that was so funny when I was a kid.
Me too. Singing telegram. Oh, it's so good.
Did you just get shot immediately?
Even the weird motorist.
Uh-huh.
That was a weird moment. I was like kind of scared of that when I was little.
For when he just shows up in the middle of the night.
Yeah.
Right.
But I love when the cop's in there. He's like, I'm in this weird house.
Yeah. And Tim Curry keeps locking him in, which is just like, what? He's locking a cop in this room?
The best scene, though, is when they decide to take the dead bodies and pretend they're having like a drunken sexual night to the, I think it's the crew cuts, shaboom, shaboom. Life could be a dream. It's the best scene ever.
Yeah.
And Mrs. Peacock is like, oh.
Well, yeah, Michael McKean tries to stop him from going in there. He's like, it's shocking. You won't believe it. And he's like, yeah, just having a good time.
Uh-huh.
All right. Well, time is getting short, so we need to talk about Madeline Kahn's 6 moments.
Yeah.
I'm sure you know what they are.
Go ahead.
The first one is the fireplace when I think it's Scarlett and Wadsworth are arguing about something.
Yeah.
Or somebody is. And she just can't take it anymore. And what does she do?
She throws her glass right into the fireplace.
Just smashes her champagne glass. And screams. It's such an overreaction.
I know.
It's such a weird way to play it. But it just kills me every time I see
it. It's so good.
Moment number two.
Yes. I mean, where did she even come up with that?
I know. It's such a strange thing to do.
I read that because the script seems so tight because it's so quick that right. they couldn't really improv a ton, but that they did, of course, let her
So have you read the script?
No, but just kind of like the syncopation of it, I think is so quick that I can't imagine there was like a ton of room for it.
Yeah.
And then the director didn't really want them to improv.
Right.
But he was just like, all right, here she goes.
Yeah. So she looks at Tim Curry, for those of you wondering what I did. And if you're a Clue fan, then you know exactly what I'm talking about. And just inexplicably does this kind of nanny nanny boo boo thing with her tongue.
Yeah.
It's so funny. Okay, I think this was, I have down here when Michael McKean approaches her and she just goes, ah! Like she has so many weird reactions.
Yeah.
Like they're small, like uh-huh. you almost don't notice it
yeah.
until you start looking for it.
And it's so genius because there's times I'm like, oh, she doesn't have a ton of lines in this and she's just like infusing it with sound.
Yeah, exactly.
Reaction, yeah.
What's the next moment? The fake strangling from Wadsworth when he's running around. And, of course, the end is so great and manic when he's running around and everyone's following him when he recreates the whole movie. And he does the little fake strangle.
and
she just sort of gently lays down to the ground and acts the part out. For She's the Jolly Good Fellow.
When she's singing, hello.
Yeah. And she starts singing it in rounds.
Nobody can deny. They're all just, it's so going so high above everyone.
Yeah.
It is so good.
How many is that? Is that five?
I think that's five.
Well,
and we all know this.
Yes. Let's go ahead and take it away.
Apparently what was written is that she was just supposed to say, like, I hate her. I hate her so much. Uh-huh. That was the line as written.
Yeah.
And she's talking about Yvette the maid, and she's like, I hate her so much. Flames from the side of my top of my side of my face. And it is like her gestures.
Oh my God.
And apparently she did like three takes of it, all more insane than the others, uh-huh. and that they couldn't even just believe what she was doing, and that it was like an angry rant of just epic proportion and so weird.
Oh, and apparently
I did
that
not do
totally,
it justice this there. You have to
no,
see this.
No, you totally did. He or she. That was one of the improvs that was allowed, apparently,
yes.
like very famously. Like you said, she just came up with that on the spot, I guess.
It's so like she can't even get the words out to just
yeah.
show disdain
so
in
much.
That. So much. So good. Oh, what a treasure.
Oh, man, I can't even take it. When I think about it, I just start like that. That's my should be my happy place. Like
yeah.
my go to is just to like think of that scene
or
any
know.
Of the six moments
yeah.
for me.
One more little moment is when Tim Curry does, I don't know if this is, I love this moment, when he's mm-hmm. like, they're like, stop shouting. And he's like, all right, I am. I'm shouting, I'm shouting, I'm, this candlestick falls on his head
right,
and finishes
right.
the rhythm. So stupid. And when the chandelier falls.
Yeah.
And Martin Mull's like, I can't take any more yeah. scares. And the chandelier falls behind him. It's like, again, so dumb.
Well, it feels like. That these some of these jokes were written for 14-year-old Chuck. Like,
yeah.
it was written for a kid
yes.
to find funny.
Mm-hmm. But there are also jokes about, like you're saying, Christopher Lloyd is this kind of pervy, weird guy.
Yeah, it was a little bawdy, like,
yeah.
but it's a clean movie, which is, like, what I really think is kind of cool, and which is why, apparently, it was shown on cable so much.
Yeah.
So much.
so much.
For a while.
Yeah.
Because it was, like, something they could run in the afternoons.
Yeah.
Sort of good, clean fun. But just that little body hint
yeah.
kind of reminded me of like Tom Stoppard stuff.
Yeah.
I took a playwriting class in college, like British playwrights. And so much of that stuff was, now I just want to say it so much like that every time I say it.
Yeah, go ahead. It's okay. You're in a safe space.
So much of it, though, was of those plays were just like this, just rapid fire, really smart back and forth. With
puns
just
and innuendo.
Yeah,
and
with just a little bodiness thrown
yeah.
in.
Yeah, because sometimes I think comedy has been, and I think kind of like out of that phase, but pushed so grotesque and kind of has to be like shock value.
Yeah, sure.
And I get it, and it's amazing, but this is really unbelievable. Like you had Tig on here, who I love so much, Tig Notaro's comedy. Mm-hmm. She doesn't even make a big thing of it, but it's very clean. She never one time has cursed. She's never one time.
Yeah.
And you go back and realize, oh, yeah, she hasn't. She's
right.
just kind of this weird observations and syncopations that you've never heard, and that's
right.
what's funny. But it doesn't always have to be So it's actually much more artful to kind of do it like this.
Yeah. Well, that's harder, I think.
And yeah, much harder.
You've seen a lot of improv over the years, I'm sure, and done it yourself. And like the potty jokes, I mean, that's sort
it's
of the
first
easy
thing
way
that
out.
Comes to your head, and yeah. you're desperate and sweaty and want to have a laugh. And so, of course, that's where you go.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's tougher, I think, to keep it clean.
Yeah.
But I mean, I like dirty stuff. Don't
get
me wrong.
Of course, who doesn't? But this was kind of a feat that they kind of managed both.
Yeah.
Because when I think back to it, I'm not thinking of it as like the squeaky clean thing.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
So apparently I was looking up like, I know they're going to remake this and ruin it. And for a while they were, what's his name? His director, Gore Verbinski, was going to do it. But I think he's off and Ryan Reynolds now has it.
Ryan's at the helm.
I mean, he's, what do you think about him? I think he's very funny.
Very funny.
Yeah.
Well, Paul Scheer knows my undying love of Clue, and I've done a bunch of these. Paul and I actually just did a comedic reading of it at the UCB. And
oh, great.
God, Paul played Christopher Lloyd, I think, and I played Mrs. Peacock, and he was so funny in it. And he knows my undying love of Clue, so he sent me the announcement that they were remaking it. And I think he was trying to, like, both tell me I should, like, get in on it. And I'm like, how?
Right.
How? But also, he knows, you know, it's such a love of mine. I don't know how I can...
It
how this
would
could be
tough.
Remade.
And I read that, and this is probably what sinks it for me, they said something about make it a globe-trotting experience and, like, get them out of the house, and they envision it as being a franchise. And
what?
It's like, it's just...
A franchise.
The beautiful thing about... One of the beautiful things about the movie was that they all were in this house running around this stage set.
I know. I'm going to say something controversial. I love Ryan Reynolds. I'm really, he actually really, really makes me laugh. And he's so charming and handsome. But sometimes I feel Hollywood is like so besotted, and maybe these are my own baggage, but like so besotted with like handsome people, like they're all so funny.
Right.
It's like just get, I hope they get comedians.
Yeah.
It doesn't have to be me, although I'd love it. But
don't like, put The Rock in it.
Thank you.
It's Colonel Mustard.
Like, you know, they need comedians.
Yeah.
I think, for this to work.
You're totally right, though, about the handsome thing. Like, and The Rock is a good example. Like, people just fall all over themselves. Like, oh, and he's so funny. Because, I guess, because you don't expect him to be.
Yeah, you don't expect it. So you're grateful.
Right.
I think.
And then The Rock thinks, like, hey, everyone, I must be fucking hysterical.
I know. And I'm like, oh, God. You know who was kind of funny, though, who was very handsome, was Chris Hemsworth in Ghostbusters.
Yeah.
Yeah. He was funny.
He's funny in the Thor movies.
Yeah,
I like
so
that.
So look, it can work.
Yeah, that's true. Oh, and me, I'm funny.
And you and
like
I,
Chris
we should
Hemsworth.
Be. Yes, exactly, exactly.
So in the end, they do the three endings very famously in the theaters. You could only see one, and the idea was that you would go to multiple movies. You loved it so much to see the endings, and it really just backfired on them.
I know.
Which is too bad.
Too bad. But I love how now, well, I used to watch this on VHS, how they would put all the endings.
Right.
Dun, 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 dun. I love when Miss Peacock, her ending, when she turns like that growl.
Uh-huh.
And what is that guy, that weird guy, when he's like, come to the kingdom of heaven?
Howard Hessman, yeah.
Yes.
From WKRP in Cincinnati.
So I didn't know who that gentleman was.
She's like, she calls him a beatnik, which
is
great.
Yes, get out of here, you beatnik. What does she scream at one point? We're all going to die or something.
Yeah, that's it, I think.
Is that what it is?
We're all going to die.
Yeah, who cares? Who cares?
She's so
weird.
Great. I mean, I every single line she says is like, she sounds like she's on her deathbed or screaming or something.
Screaming.
It's so great. And apparently she had just gotten out of rehab for... painkillers.
Really?
Because she had like a really bad back injury and ended up like being addicted to painkillers and had just come out of rehab. So everyone apparently was like knew this and really sweet to her and
aww.
Tried to like help her along.
Well, she knocked it out of the park.
Oh, she killed it.
Actually, speaking of rehab, if I may, I heard read that Carrie Fisher was supposed to play Miss Scarlet,
yeah.
but was in rehab.
I can't imagine anyone but Leslie Ann Warren, of course.
I know.
That's how that goes, though.
Well, we know you. Sweet on her.
I can't imagine Carrie Fisher in that role.
Yes.
She
yeah,
was in
I can't either.
Then too.
Yeah. I think it all, you know, casting is destiny,
yeah.
as they say.
So
whoever shows
says?
Up on the day. Ken says that, and Ken has taught me everything I know.
Here's another quick bit of trivia. The set, after they finished the movie, would eventually become the Carlton Hotel from Dynasty.
Way to repurpose it. You know? I mean, unexpected.
Well, it's this beautiful thing, and like I can't imagine them just like tearing it down.
Yeah, throwing it out. Wow.
I didn't watch Dynasty, but I'm going to try.
Then it was for Waterworld. Right. Keep using it.
It's floating out in the sea.
Yeah.
All right, we finish with, are you good on Clue? Any more favorite moments?
No, I just want everyone to see it, and it's so great.
Well, I do actually have one more favorite moment. When Wadsworth admits that he was blackmailed because his wife was friends with socialists. Yeah. So silly.
So silly.
And I can't decide if that joke is more appropriate then or now, like to be really funny.
I don't know. A lot. It holds up.
It does hold up.
I also love Yvette when she's like, oui, monsieur, I was flattened. Yeah. She's like in that weird billiard room listening.
And Michael McKean is so great. There's the one shot where, you know, everyone splits up to go search the house and he's, you know, the gay man with the buxom maid. And they're at the bottom of the stairs of the attic. Uh-huh. And he wants her to go up and she's like, no, you. And he just stands there looking very quietly. And then they cut away to some other stuff. And they cut back. And he's just still standing there motionless. It's just such a, like, I'm a big fan of camera jokes.
Yeah.
Just like.
Of course.
You know, the way you frame something can be funny.
Of course. And then I love when he, it's his ending. And he's like, I'm going to go home and sleep with my wife.
Oh, yeah. Such great. A great way to end it.
Okay.
And his whole personality changes as soon as he, like, you know, becomes Mr. Straight Man again.
Yeah.
So great. All right, well, I could talk about Clue all day, but
I could too.
You have children to get to.
Yeah, but I'd like to
as
leave.
As do I.
No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding.
We finish with what Ebert said and then five questions.
Okay.
Roger Ebert.
This movie is a complete disappointment.
Gave this movie 2 stars. And he was a bit of a poopy pants about it. He says, fun, I must say, is in short supply in Clue. I'm going to go ahead and say right away, this movie is all fun.
I wonder if he didn't see it in a theater full of people.
He didn't.
Comedy has to be watched with an audience.
He was sent, he even said that he was sent the version with all 3 endings to his office or whatever.
See, that's a bummer because he didn't know. And when you have to judge comedy on your own, sometimes you're wrong.
Yeah.
I feel like.
I will still try and go see horror films and comedies theaters if I can.
The last one, really funny comedy I saw was Girls Trip in the theater. People were going crazy. So then you're laughing more.
It really
helps. Much more fun.
It's great.
I'm like sitting in your home with your computer.
Yeah.
Like looking at something. Little Shop of Horrors was the same one. People would see it and they didn't know what to make of it. But then apparently being all together, like one person would start laughing in every theater. And people were like, this is hilarious.
You know, Reader's Digest says laughter is contagious.
And so does Ken Marino.
The filmmakers have attempted to make Clue into a screwball comedy. They get you with that as well. Because they very much did.
They did.
With lots of throwaway gags and one-liners. Some of these moments of comedy are funny. Most are not. The cast looks promising. Martin Mull, Leslie Ann Warren, Madeline Kahn, and the wonderfully bouncy Colleen Camp.
Oh, well, that's obviously making reference to her breasts.
Yeah, yeah. Just straight up in a Chicago Tribune.
He's like, I guess I liked her. Hmm?
But the screenplay is so very, very thin that they spend most of their time looking frustrated, as if they'd just been cut off right before they were about to say something interesting. I have no idea what he's talking about.
Yeah, he just didn't get it, unfortunately.
No. I mean, granted, it's not an Academy Award winner, but it was like it succeeded on all levels for what it was trying to do, I think.
100%. And not everything has to be so like weighty and deep. And I think going back quickly to what we said about comedy actors and drama actors, I think it's very hard to judge. What's unfair about comedy is like you have to have a ha, and if it doesn't like make someone laugh because of whatever reason, then it's bad, I put in quotes.
Right.
Whereas drama, it's so much easier to give a pass to it because you're like, I guess I liked it. I don't know. What am I supposed to, there's no like physical response needed to prove that it's funny.
Yeah.
Or that it's something. So you're just like, that seemed deep.
Yeah, for real.
And I don't know why I'm pitting drama against comedy, but I hate drama. They know who they are.
They do. And Roger,
well,
he's not with us anymore.
No.
So I always feel bad when I take issue with some of his stuff.
You know.
But he didn't get this one right.
Well, he's a critic. So that's what we're supposed to do with critics. They're criticizing. And
I'm
we're criticizing
Clue.
Right back.
And this is such a beloved movie.
Yeah.
By so many.
And I do feel like when people get Clue, it's like, oh, you're a fun-loving person. Like, you're just like...
It does say a lot.
I like it. Uh-huh. You get it. Anything anyone that likes what I like, I feel they're
right.
a great person and a visionary.
That's the way humans are, though.
Uh-huh.
And finally, five questions. Do you remember the first movie you saw in a movie theater?
Well, Splat. Oh, no, E.T. I saw E.T.
Oh, okay.
And I said to my dad, why am I crying?
Oh.
After.
That's what he
said. I
didn't
understand why I was crying.
Did he answer you?
He's like, it's really sad.
Oh, okay.
What happened? I think that's what he said.
What if he's like, I don't know.
He's like, oh, God. He's like.
Why are you crying?
Yeah, shut the fuck up.
It's a movie.
Yeah.
You know that's not real, right?
That didn't happen, right?
I love it, though, the innocence of a kid like that.
Yeah.
To, like, not understand emotions yet. It's really sweet.
Yeah, but you're still feeling them.
Yeah.
But you're kind of, it's confusing as to, like, how did this movie affect me?
Uh-huh.
But that's what movies do, Chuck.
Yeah. I have to remind myself that as a parent, too, though. Like, they don't get it yet.
Yeah. They don't get it yet. And I have to keep reminding myself about my three-year-old.
Yeah.
Yeah. They're not, the developmentally just not there to have impulse control.
Yeah.
And I barely have it. 37. At the age of Leslie Ann Warren.
Oh, she just seems so mature and like refined and.
You know who another famous 37-year-old is?
Who?
Meghan Markle.
Oh,
so when you say people achieve things, I'm like, I could have been the princess. We were both on B-level sitcoms. Why wasn't that me?
First R-rated movie. Do you remember that? Did that have an impact on you?
Gosh, what was it? Was Tremors R-rated?
Was Tremors R-rated?
Probably not, right?
I don't think so. But boy, did I love that movie.
I loved it.
Yeah, still do.
Of course. I did my first impression to that in the backseat of the car. My parents laughed, and I was like, oh.
You did impressions of the actors?
One of them, I was like, it's totally Subterranean. And they were like, oh, that sounded like her. And I was like,
Yeah, that actress was like, she's the Tremors lady.
The Tremors lady.
Never saw her in anything else.
Yeah, but she did her part there.
Yeah.
She was great.
She was great. So I don't think it was R-rated, but
okay.
If that's the only thing you can remember, that's fine. We'll call it R-rated.
Is Raising Arizona R-rated?
13? 13 what?
PG-13.
PG-13. Ramsey, guest producer Ramsey says.
I remember seeing White Men Can't Jump.
I bet that was R-rated.
Yeah.
All right, we'll go with that.
Okay. I feel like I saw Jungle Fever pretty young.
Oh, were
I
you
was
a
like,
Spike Lee fan?
Then I was.
Yeah.
I was like, ooh, this is titillating.
It was very titillating.
Yeah.
It's a good movie.
Uh-huh.
Will you walk out of a bad movie?
Every single time.
Oh, really?
I will walk out. 5 minutes in.
Wow.
And it drives people crazy. It drives Paul Scheer and June crazy.
Oh, because you're going to
movie God.
With them?
Yeah, I'll
and
walk
you're just
out.
Like, I'm out.
I'm like, I'm out. And I don't mean it in any disrespect. I've written a movie that I know people walked out of. So I.
What movie?
Well, Judah and I wrote Bride Wars, a
okay.
movie with Kate Hudson and Anne Hathaway fighting over a wedding date. And
I didn't see that.
It's, you know, at least you didn't walk out.
Is it good?
Yeah, I think it's fun. It's very like romantic comedy genre and
uh-huh.
fun, really fun. Yeah, well, of course, I like it, but, you
right.
know. And also June and I wrote an indie movie that we started in called Ask Backwards. And it's a few people I would say didn't get it, the like comedy. That was a bit darker comedy. But so all I'm saying is they think personally, I'm like, God, I've got kids. Even before that, just like time is precious.
Mm-hmm.
And if I'm not clicking with it, it's not even that I'm angry. I'm just like, I'm going to go. Always
yeah.
finish my candy first. Make sure that happens.
Do you go into another movie or do you just hit the road?
Sometimes, but sometimes I'm just like, I'm out.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not upset about it.
Right.
I love movies so much.
Mm-hmm.
And then I try to, it's my greatest, fondest journey. So I'm like, it's okay. I didn't like that one. And
yeah.
just, I'm out. But then I'll try to engage people in discussions about it. And they're like, you were only saw 10 minutes.
Right.
I'm like, I just didn't care for that performance or the ending. They're like, you didn't see it. Shut up about it.
Like, yeah, but I get it.
Yeah. And then other movies, like, I'll stay so willingly. Like, after our second son was born, we just wanted to see anything. And
yeah,
you're
sure.
in such a crazy state. Just laughing my head off with no children in the theater to Boss Baby.
Really?
I was like, I love it.
Boss Baby's kind of funny.
You know, sometimes you're just in the mood for something. Sometimes you're not.
Yeah. My kid loves it.
Yeah.
We actually took her to Coco. She finally, like, went into a movie theater.
My gosh, my son hasn't been able to really do that yet.
Yeah.
Did she like it?
She did, and Emily was a little worried that she was like, she's not going to be able to sit there.
Yeah.
And for 90% of it, she just sat there like a log, just transfixed.
Wow, that must have been, I'm so excited to take my son to a movie. It's like.
I was pretty excited. I was like, I think, let's give it a shot.
Did she get Coco. Popcorn?
No, I don't think we got popcorn.
Oh, gosh. She was just watching the magic of movies.
Like, aren't kids not supposed to have popcorn? Is that a thing?
Oh, God, they're not. I just realized I don't think my son's had it either.
For some reason, that feels like
I gotta call my babysitter.
On a list.
Yeah, I guess it is. Oops.
What actor? Oh, okay. This one's tailored for you.
Okay.
What actress do you most wish you could have made a buddy comedy with?
Wow.
Living or dead?
Living or dead. Oh my gosh.
Comedy duo.
I mean, Kristen Wiig.
Oh.
Who is a friend and a wonderful actress. Maybe her.
Well, that's still possible.
Is it? I don't know. Maybe I could be the friend next door. God, I love her. I love Shirley MacLaine.
Yeah.
As I've said, I love Goldie Hawn.
Oh, she's great.
Yeah.
All right. Great answers.
You know who I actually met 2 nights ago who is so funny in person is Amy Schumer.
Oh, really?
So funny.
And you didn't know her before?
No, didn't know her.
She was nice?
Very nice. Very funny. Very funny. I was laughing so hard. I was like, this is embarrassing.
Really?
I'm laughing, yes. She's really funny.
Did you like snot coming out of your nose?
No, but it was a little much. I finally turned away.
Really?
I was like, come on. Pull yourself together.
Do you ever wonder when you have an experience like that, like, oh my gosh, what did she think of me?
Oh, of course. That's all I'm thinking. It's like, I hope she thinks I wasn't so thirsty.
Well, she probably left thinking like, oh, my God, she's wonderful because she laughed at my jokes and thought I was hysterical.
Yeah. I mean, I hope so. She was so nice and funny and like self-deprecating, which is my number one quality in anyone. And
right.
She was right on the money.
That's because it's the best quality.
But also has confidence. So it's a great mix.
Mm-hmm.
I thought.
I love it. I'm a big fan. Movie going 101, finally, question 5. What is your...
Oh, sorry, Tiffany Haddish, I'm going to throw in the mix as well.
Oh,
from
okay.
Girls Trip. Funny as hell.
Well, it sounds like you just need to make a...
Yeah, it sounds like I could just round
comedy.
Up these gals. Yeah,
yeah do
yeah.
it. I love it.
Yeah.
She is very funny. Movie going 101, what is your theater ritual like? Where do you sit and what do you eat?
My husband demands that we sit in the middle but on the aisle because he's very tall.
Mm-hmm.
Don't be jealous, ladies. And this really has turned a lot of friends off, but I will buy anyone any amount of concessions that they want, but I don't care to share mine. And I'm very upfront about that.
Mm.
Like, if you think you're going to even want one red vine, I'll buy you the whole box.
Right.
Not that I'm not generous. I want you to have, if the thought crosses your mind that you might, because I know you're trying to say right now at the concession stand, like, I'm good.
Uh-huh.
But I know when you see me opening my things,
right.
my goobers and my popcorn, you're going to want at it. And I don't feel like giving you any. Now, when I'm totally done, I will pass things down the line.
Mm-hmm.
But often there's nothing left.
Let's unpack this quickly.
Yeah.
Do you have siblings?
Yes.
Okay. Is it a sharing thing or you don't want to be disturbed in the movie by
I love candy and
that
that's
exchange?
My No, I'll be disturbed. I talk throughout all movies, but I'm happy to be disturbed, but it's more I love candy. I love the experience so much.
Uh-huh.
I just don't want to
All for you.
And I feel in my life I am always worrying about other people and hoping they're good.
Uh-huh.
Something about in the movies I'm like I just don't
get selfish.
Yeah, but again, if my friend even has a look in her eye like she's going to want some, I just get 2 packs. So I want everyone to have their things. I just don't want them trying to come after mine. There's not a lot of red vines in that pack.
Uh-huh.
Take a look. It's not as many as you would want.
So not Twizzlers, red vines.
Red vines, goobers. I've had a problem where if I'm trying to diet, I can't go to movies.
Mm.
Because to me, they go so hand in hand.
Sure.
It's such a like something from my childhood.
Yeah.
So my parents were big, like, get whatever.
Right.
And we didn't have a lot of money, but it was like,
that
this
was
is
splurge.
Where what we do our thing. And so I like get tears in my eyes thinking about concessions with movies. I'm just
Aww.
Like, I need to be here doing this.
Uh-huh.
And I can't go on that journey with you.
Right.
And my candy.
Popcorn?
Oh, yeah. All of it.
Drinks?
I'm getting a cherry Coke. I mean, these
cherry
are things
Coke.
Most actresses aren't loading up with
mm-hmm.
before if they see movies 4 times a month.
Right.
And like so many friends I have kids are like, oh, we never get to the movies. And that's one thing I've been happy about. My husband and I were like, we are going to still try to go to the movies.
Yeah.
We love it.
Yeah. That's movies we don't get them in anymore. That and like live music are the things that I still try and do.
Yeah. Yeah. Got to try.
Otherwise, I'm dead inside.
Yeah. Otherwise, I'm dead. But most movies I go to, I'm like, I fucking auditioned for that. I didn't get it. No, I'm kidding. But there is a little of that sometimes. I'm
sure.
Like, being on both sides of it. Sometimes I like, but then I always get over it right away and I'm like, she was great.
So you go to movies where you audition for the part you're watching on
screen. Constantly. But then I genuinely, not just saying this, I will always walk away being like, they had a better take on it.
Right.
They just did. There she was great.
Wow.
But first I'm like, and then I'm like, I get it. I wouldn't cast me either in that.
All right. Thanks, Casey.
Thank you so much for having me.
This is great.
So fun.
All right. All right, everyone. I hope you enjoyed that. I sure did like talking Clue with Casey Wilson. We just had an immediate rapport, and she was just a lovely human being. And I can't wait to see what she's working on with Nicole Holofcener. I'm a little mad that she didn't tell me she was here sooner so I could have worked that angle and gotten Nicole Holofcener in here because I'm such a fan of hers. But I'm sure it's going to be great. You can follow Casey on Twitter at Casey Rose Wilson. And just support what she does because she's one of the best. And I hope you enjoyed our chat about Clue. And until next week, avoid the billiard room, especially when Colonel Mustard is in there with the rope. Movie Crush is produced, engineered, edited, and soundtracked by Noel Brown and Ramsey Yunt at HowStuffWorks Studios, Ponce City Market, Atlanta, Georgia.